Santa might get a little winded from all the places we're spending Christmas this hour on Travel with Rick Steves. We've still got stops to make in Stockholm and Rome, Amsterdam, Sardinia, and even sunny Costa Rica in Central America. Right now, we're docking in the Adriatic to check in with Marjan Krišković. He guides travelers around his home country of Croatia and through the neighboring countries of the former Yugoslavia. Marjan, welcome.
Thank you.
How do you say Merry Christmas in Croatian?
Sretan Božić.
Sretan Božić. What does that mean, literally?
Merry Christmas. Sretan, happy or merry.
Okay, Sretan is happy. Mm-hmm.
And Božić actually comes as from the word Bog, and it means little God, and it implies the birth of baby Jesus.
Little God.
Little God, literally.
So literally, you're saying happy little God.
Exactly.
Now, when you celebrate the holiday season in Croatia, as in much of Europe, it's more than just one day. Tell us the general holiday calendar in Croatia. What are the big days for you in Croatia?
The celebrating of Christmas starts December 6th, which is St. Nicholas Day. And that's when the tradition was of giving gifts, especially to the children, in forms of apples, fruits, really little symbols and tokens of love and signs of good luck. Then there is December 13th, which is St. Lucia Day. Usually on St. Lucia's Day, in Croatia, you would get a ball of wheat seeds, soak them in water, and those seeds will then start germinating, and the wheat grows by the time of Christmas. And this is a symbol of fertility, of good luck in the following year, the symbol of birth, to do with the birth of Jesus Christ.
And, you know, when we think about the celebration of Christmas, we can also think about pagan pre-Christian celebrations. Mm-hmm. And there's so much of our, Christian mm-hmm. traditions that have these pagan mm-hmm. roots. And I think Christmas is part of the winter solstice. And there was a pagan mm-hmm. festival on December
right.
25th.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these sort of reminders to people that might be nervous that the sun's mm-hmm. gone away, all the plants are dead now, and they will grow again.
Exactly. The church in the 4th century, I believe, since they couldn't erase those old pagan beliefs, they just simply replaced them and have put a new form on them with a Christian face.
It's a smart thing to do if you want to replace beliefs. I remember even during the communist time in some, maybe mm-hmm. not Yugoslavia, but in Bulgaria, if there was one rock concert out of the year, it would be on Easter.
Growing up in a former communist country, I must say it wasn't always all that bad. Because as a child there, we would have still December 6th. The way that they do nowadays is usually you give smaller gifts and token on St. Nicholas Day, and you do the big gifts and the big celebration on Christmas Day. But in communist days, the communists tried to replace Christmas. They knew they couldn't erase it because it was an important family holiday and people would still do it. So they just tried to replace it with New Year, putting the emphasis on celebrating New Year instead of Christmas. And the gifts came from Father Frost instead of Santa Claus.
So there was an actual concentrated effort by the government to shift mm-hmm. it from a religious day to a party day.
That's right.
Take the religious connotations mm-hmm. of the gift-giving in the mm-hmm. family, but mm-hmm. keep a family time.
That's right.
And Father Frost?
Mm-hmm. Father Frost, Djed Mraz in Croatian, was taken, the example was taken from the Russians, from the Soviets.
So the communists go away, mm-hmm. and now you can take back the Christmas day and keep the Father Frost and have more parties altogether.
True, although I must say in those days, what people did, because we did not have such a hardline regime, they still kept St. Nicholas, they kept Santa Claus, and they kept Father Frost.
So they said, okay, you got another guy. You got Nicholas coming, you got baby Jesus, and you got
exactly.
Father Frost.
It was perfect. And needless to say, I have very fond memories from my childhood of that.
You Yugoslavians. I think, I don't think it was exactly the Yugoslavians. I remember Khrushchev would say, making these people communists is like trying to saddle a cow. It's really tough. Okay, you're a little child. You're 4 mm-hmm. years old, and you know it's St. Nicholas Day, and you know St. Nicholas is coming, and he's got a sidekick, doesn't he? What are your thoughts the night before?
He does.
What are your thoughts before? Who comes and what happens here?
Well, the one that children usually fear is the Krampus.
Krampus.
Krampus, yes.
This is St. Nick's evil sidekick.
That's right.
Oh,
speaking
boy.
Of
are
your
you naughty
beliefs.
Or are you nice? You're going to get to know Krampus
exactly.
if you're naughty.
If you're bad, you don't get any presents. You rather get a stick. And whenever St. Nicholas comes through town, because just like later on with Santa Claus, you would have, in any town, you would have the procession with Santa Claus coming, giving gifts to children. And alongside him is Krampus. And he has these heavy chains. He's all black and he's got these demonic outfits. Looks kind of like the devil himself. and he rattles with the heavy chains. He tries to scare the children. He's got a whip with which he whips the children, the people on their feet, scares everyone away. And if you're bad, the Krampus is going to get you. So this is something to assure that the kids are good throughout the year.
So there's parades going through villages with this sort of festivity.
Yes.
That would be a fun time to be in Croatia.
Very much so.
December 6th.
Yeah.
I'm joined by Marijan Krišković from Croatia. We're talking about Christmas in this part of former Yugoslavia. Marijan, we've got a lot of listeners across the United States, many of them with Croatian ancestry. Can you give them a greeting in your language and then tell us what you said?
Čestit Božić i sve najbolje u novoj godini. Merry Christmas and all the best in the new year.
And if I want to say thank you, I say...
Hvala.
Hvala, Marijan. Merry Christmas to you too. From Croatia, let's head now to the kind of cold, snowy landscape where Santa Claus might feel more at home. Tour guide Marita Bergman's here from Stockholm to tell us about the holiday traditions that have been underway for the past couple of weeks in Sweden. Marita, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
We say Merry Christmas, God Jul.
God Jul.
God Jul.
What does that mean literally?
It means have a good Christmas.
Now, a big day in Sweden is Santa Lucia Day, right? December 13.
Yeah, that's true. It's a special day. It's a day when we greet the light coming into the dark period. We start in December and especially at Lucia to greet the light coming back.
Greeting the light. And it's done with adorable little children with crowns of candles on their heads?
Yeah, in every school, in every elderly home comes children.
A little parade of children bringing good cheer.
Yeah, there are smaller children with Lucia, which normally is an older girl than with this crown of living lights, candles.
Actual candles on her hair.
Yeah, it can be so. Not with the smaller ones, but...
No.
And then they are singing their traditional songs.
And do they bring a goodies to the old folk?
They bring cinnamon cookies.
Cinnamon cookies.
And also saffron buns.
Who's Jultomten?
Jultomten, that is a man that comes to everyone's home with smaller children.
So he's the Swedish Santa Claus.
He's the Swedish Santa Claus,
Jultomten.
Yes.
Is he fat?
Yeah. He's fat. He has a beard also.
Is he one of these parental things that scares children into being nice rather than naughty? You know, if you're nice... You will get presents from Jultomten.
Yeah, I don't think so.
How do the kids get their gifts? Do they find a stocking at the fireplace or under the tree? Or
normally, we have the stocking in their own rooms. So they have something already in the Christmas morning waiting for them in a stocking or perhaps in a bag or something.
In their room?
Yeah.
So the parents will sneak in when the children are sleeping and they wake up and Jultomten has been in their room while they slept.
So it is.
I understand in Sweden there's some interest in writing on the wrapping paper rhymes.
Yeah, it's a very ritualized day, Christmas. Every family do the same. Actually, we look 1 hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's Christmas comics. It's Disney films.
On TV.
On TV.
So everybody at 3 o'clock tunes into TV and watches Christmas comics.
For 1 hour, it's the same ritual, same procedures every year. And then afterwards, we deliver the Christmas presents. And on the presents, there is a kind of something written in it. And to give us a clue what there is in the present.
Oh, so actually the parent or the person working for Jultomten will write on the paper a rhyming poem making clues to what's in the package.
Yeah, true. And it has to be very, very mystical. I mean, it can't be too clear what is in it. So the better rhyme you have done, the more you have to think. And the children, of course, the parcels lying under the Christmas tree can go and sneak and read also before.
Oh, when I was little, I would shake the package to try to find what's inside. I could shake and make a noise.
Yeah.
But here, you can read the puzzle in the poem that the parent wrote on the present wrapping.
That's true.
I love that. Now, what's the traditional food and drink of Christmas in Sweden?
We drink this spicy wine, which we call glögg.
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 And that is a kind of a sweet wine, which is then spiced with different kinds of spices. Very, very, very good it is.
It's a hot wine.
It's a hot wine, and you can get it also quite strong. Well, it's about 20% alcohol in it. So it can get quite joyful on Christmas Day.
So Christmas Day is the big deal more than Christmas Eve?
No, Christmas Eve is the big day.
Okay, that's the big day. So it's really quite an involved holiday.
It is.
Modern Swedes, as much as they can throw away a lot of the traditions and be progressive and so on, they're embracing the traditions of a multi-generational Christmas celebration.
It is true. We have strong traditions in that way, but then also, on the other hand, a progressive society, yes.
So that's interesting. You can have the most radically progressive society, and there's still a deep-seated hunger for tradition.
Yeah.
And at Christmas time, people will gather together at 3 o'clock and watch Christmas comics.
In all homes, yes.
We have Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Is there a song in Swedish that sort of everybody knows and everybody loves? If somebody can play the piano, they'll try it.
Of course, there are those ordinary songs also sung all over, like Silent Night and so on. But then we also have songs which we are singing, dancing then, if we have a lot of space at home. We are dancing around the Christmas tree all together, holding our hands.
So this is not just in fairy tales or romantic movies, but the Swedes will gather and hold hands in a circle around the tree.
Yeah.
Marita, thanks for a look into Swedish Christmas. Can you give me a Christmas sort of greeting in Swedish?
We say God Jul. God Jul and Gott Nytt År. Happy New Year.
God Jul and Gott Nytt År.
Yes.
Tack så mycket.
Varsågod.
Tour guide Marita Bergman can be reached through the GuideStockholm.com website. People from around the world get to spend a little bit of Christmas in Rome each year with telecasts of the Midnight Mass from St. Peter's Basilica. For a look at how they extend the holidays in the Italian capital, we're joined by Rome-based tour guides Susanna Perucchini and, on the line from her apartment in Rome, Francesca Caruso.
Merry Christmas, Francesca and Susanna.
Merry Christmas to you.
How do you say Merry
Buon
Christmas?
Natale.
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Let's talk about Christmas in Rome. What's unique about Christmas in Rome?
Well, I think that Christmas in Rome is, it's a very family thing. I mean, it's not so much about the decorations. It's not so much about the presents. It is being with your family. So I think that the thing that we invest in most is food, for example, to prepare the perfect Christmas Eve meal and the meal on Christmas Day. So there is a saying in Italy that goes, Natale con i tuoi, Pasqua con chi vuoi, which means Christmas with your own family, and Easter with whoever you wish. So absolutely you have to spend it with your family. So something that we traditionally do at Christmas is we go on a walk and we go to the main churches to see the nativity scenes that they set up.
Okay.
And then maybe a quick stop at the Christmas fair in Piazza Navona, and then a concert in the churches. Within the past few years, I have to say, gospels, American gospels, the Italian have discovered an absolute passion for, and they're becoming more and more popular, so we have a lot of singers from the States who come and sing gospel.
Wow, American gospel.
Yes.
Oh, yes, the Italians adore it.
Now, it was fun to look at Susanna as you were saying that phrase. Say the phrase again, Susanna.
Is Natale con i tuoi, Pasqua con chi vuoi.
Now, Francesca talked about the food is important. Susanna, tell me about your image of the classic Roman Christmas feast.
When my mother moved from Padova to Rome, she started to cook differently. So in the northern part of Italy, we use more butter, rice, and of course in the south, tomato. It's a little bit more tasty. So she melted what I call Veneto Lazio cuisine. In my house, what my mother cooked wonderfully, and it's very typical from Rome, artichokes.
So Lazio meaning the state of Rome.
Yeah,
Rome's
the region.
The state of Lazio.
The region.
And
yes.
Then the Veneto would be Verona and Venice.
Yes, exactly. And
now,
Padova.
Francesca, in Rome, of course, this eel is a big deal, right? What's with the eel on Christmas?
Yeah, I still have a horrible memory of my childhood with my dad bringing the live eel home and the poor eel moving around in the kitchen sink as he had to.
So the eel is flailing around in the kitchen sink as the relatives are coming over for Christmas. You've got a fresh one.
Yes, yes, but that's a great advantage of having an American mother as I do, that she put an end to the eel in the sink. So
an end to the eel, like killing it or ending the tradition and not having it anymore?
Well, not having it anymore.
Okay, so no more eels in your family. Why do they have an eel traditionally for Christmas in Rome?
Because it's fish.
Yes, Christmas Eve is fish, and the Roman specialty on Christmas Eve is fried things. So it can be anything from pieces of vegetable to pieces of fish to pieces of fruit like apple dipped in a very, very light batter and fried. This is the absolutely Roman specialty.
Huh. Now, you mentioned it's a multi-generational thing. It's a time for the family to be together. And for the little children, we have St. Nicholas coming and so on. And you've got something called La Befana.
La Befana comes on the 6th of January, and if children have been bad, if they've misbehaved, she will bring them coal, which is normally made of sugar, and if they've been good, she will bring gifts to them.
Oh, so kids get black sugar, like fake coal, but they can eat it like candy?
Yes.
Yes.
Ah.
Now, La Befana is like a witch on a broomstick, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
You've got your Christmas season that really, for a tourist, if you like all the festivities for Christmas, all the markets and so on, they go until January 6th.
Yes, exactly.
And that's
yes,
Epiphany.
January 6th is the last day of the Christmas vacation.
That was when, I guess that's after 12 days of Christmas.
That's when the Magi.
When the three kings finally brought the gifts.
Exactly. Yes.
So that marks the end of the Christmas
season. That's when we put away our nativity scenes and we take the decorations off the tree.
Because I've been to Rome many times after Christmas, like for New Year's, and I've got all this Christmas fun on the streets, and it really is this La Befana festivity that people are going to.
Yes, absolutely.
And everybody's on the Piazza Navona, and they have a Christmas market.
Yeah, that is the place where you usually want to see the Befana coming down. Usually they use this big ragdoll, like La Befana, coming down the roofs of Rome to the main square, which is Piazza Navona. So Piazza Navona is the place where you want to be on the 6th, or the night before.
And just like little kids in America get photographed with Santa Claus, I think little kids in Rome get photographed with this La Befana.
Yes, even though Santa Claus is a Babbo Natale, it's something that we know.
Always there. And in Rome, the presepe is a big deal. That's the local word for manger scenes?
Presepio, yes.
Presepio.
Yes.
And you find churches work really hard to make beautiful manger scenes.
They really do. They really do. There's some beautiful ones. Even if I have to say, maybe, I think, Susanna, you agree that the most beautiful presepi in Italy are the ones made in Naples.
Exactly.
But we have in the 1700s especially, and we have a fantastic one that's on display all year round in Rome by the Roman Forum, which is absolutely worth a visit. But, you know, even in homes, I mean, I remember when I was a child and we made our nativity scene in our fireplace, and we used to actually move the little figurines, and we put the little figurine of baby Jesus in the crib exactly at midnight on Christmas Eve.
Oh, doesn't the tradition go back to St. Francis?
St. Francis created the nativities to help tell the story of the birth of Christ.
So he was such a creative teacher, and he used that to help tell the Christmas story.
Yeah, we
and
still
an
do it.
Too, no?
Yeah, yeah. And today, when you go to Naples, you find entire streets dedicated to selling little figurines for the Presepio.
Months ahead of time.
And, of course, the grandest manger scene is the size of a regular house.
Yes.
And it's on the main square at St. Peter's in front of the church.
Yes. With the big tree.
Well, now, who brings this big tree?
Every year it comes from a different area, and there is a very long waiting list for villages in the mountains and the Alps that want to send it.
So Catholic villages all over Christendom are trying to send the Pope a tree for Christmas. All right. I've been talking with Francesca Caruso from Rome and Susanna Perrocchini right here in our studio, and we're celebrating Christmas all over the world. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale.
Buon Natale tutti.
Susanna Perrocchini and Francesca Caruso are private tour guides based in Rome. Francesca's website is francescacaruso.com. We'll hear about the one-of-a-kind winter holidays in the Netherlands and get a taste of a tropical Christmas in Costa Rica in just a bit, right after we stop over on the island of Sardinia, next on Travel with Rick Steves.